Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologue. Today, I have with me Carolyn J. Murphy. She is going to introduce herself and tell us what she does.
Good evening. I am Carolyn J. Murphy. I am a mental health advocate, Tennessee certified peer, author, and Christian life coach.
Can you tell me how your journey started? Did you start with the mindset coaching and you say that you're an author? Was that prior to being a mindset coach, or which one came first?
I became an author before I became a coach. The name of my book is called God, Why Did You Save Me?, which is available on Amazon. But my start is initially from child trauma. And out of that, I developed depression and anxiety. And so in 2017 is when my journey of learning more about mental health began. And after that, I became a Tennessee certified peer in 2019.
Okay, so can you tell me about why you started writing your book or the contents of your book?
The book is a part of my healing journey. And I know that everybody's healing journey is different. And that's one of the main things I try to advocate. When you decide that you want to start your healing journey, find out what works best for you. And so for me, part of my healing journey is writing my book, which talks about healing, resilience, forgiveness, transformation. And the book, again, is called God, Why Did You Save Me? And there are only 7 chapters in it. It's a snapshot of my life from childhood to young adult. And one of them is called Russian Roulette. And that chapter talks about just living a life as if you just don't care. Because when you've been traumatized, you carry around a lot of hurt and pain. So in that hurt and pain, you don't care who you hurt. And so that chapter talks about just living a life of Russian roulette, even hurting myself as well as others.
Yes. And even the title of your book, Why God, Why Can't You Save Me?, is emotionally evoking. I want to ask why you decided to write through this almost hopeless lens, or at least the title of your book is Why Am I Facing All This Adversity in My Life? Can you tell me about how, through your journey and your process of writing this book, you were able to combat your childhood trauma, grow from it, and learn?
The book title, God, Why Did You Save Me?, that is a question that I consistently ask God after I was 8 years old. Because when I was 8, I lost 2 siblings to a house fire. And I am the oldest of 6 children. Prior to being 8 years old, because of all the trauma and the death and the other things that were going on in my life, my prayer was, Lord, take me in my sleep. And that's a pretty heavy prayer for a child to be praying. And so when I started reading the book, when I started writing the book, of course, the name came up of what to name it. So it eventually came out, God, Why Did You Save Me? And so as people started buying the book and I even posted it on social media, people were assuming that I was talking about soul salvation. But I had to go back and even ask God, why is this book titled, God, Why Did You Save Me? And the Holy Spirit told me it has nothing to do with soul salvation. It was actually pertaining to, I asked him, why did he save me out of the house fire compared to allowing my siblings to die in the house fire? So that's the background of the name of the book. But when it comes to the trauma that I endured, I knew that I had a purpose. I knew that I wanted more. I knew that I was meant for more and all of the hurt and the pain that I was enduring, but I was going about it the wrong way, trying to find out the wrong way, which was when you go through trauma, you grab hold to things that try to make you feel better. But the more I gravitated to things and people, the more empty I felt. And once I started prioritizing my faith, cultivating my relationship with the Lord, things began to fall in place. not to say that the pain didn't stop, but cultivating my relationship with the Lord, it shifted my attention or my focus from all of the pain and began to give it, for lack of a better word, definition, to let me know that I was just not meant for the pain, but God can use the pain. And so that's one of my signature talks, is from pain to purpose. And now I'm on the other side of the trauma. And so the book is also meant for me not to just release, but also to show those other women that are in the same place where I was, to let them know that there's life outside of trauma.
I want to know, first of all, when you wrote this book and what drove you to write the book, because some of us have amazing life stories, or maybe we have past trauma and we have something to share with the world. Getting that piece of paper, that pencil out and writing down can be the first obstacle you overcome in order to write a book. And I'm wondering how you started out. Did it start off with just journal entries and then you decided to turn it into a book? Or did you actually think to yourself one day, I'm going to write a book and this is the time period I want to complete it within?
Years ago, I was a single mother of two boys. They're now 31 and 26. So while they were young, the Lord let me know that I needed to write a book. But if you know anything about a single mother, you're not thinking about, you don't prioritize you at all. Your mental health, your physical health, nothing. You're just living in the moment. You're just living for that day. So the Lord told me years ago that I'm supposed to write a book. That was not, now that my sons are grown and gone, it was early last year that I met a publisher who is also a believer. And I began to let her tell her some of the things that has happened in my life. And one of the things she said, where's your book? And I was like, maybe I'll get to it in like about 5 years. And she laughed. She's, no, ma'am, you need to write this book now. I didn't know she was a publisher. I thought she was just a coach. And so when she said that, I knew then it was time. It was just going so fast that I couldn't keep up writing. So I would journal, but it wasn't consistently. So when she told me it was time, she confirmed that it was time. The process was so simple because I really evaded trying to write the book because the lack of knowledge. I didn't know. I just knew it would cost a lot of money. I knew it was going to take a lot of time. And I just did not want to think about that. I didn't have the money and I didn't have the time either. But now that my sons were grown and gone, I don't have that excuse anymore. So when she finally came to me and say, hey, you need to write this book. And so the process was so simple that she gave me 15 questions and I just had to write. She told me just take out a block of time, 10, 15 minutes a day, and answer the questions as detailed as possible. Once I answered the questions, I just forwarded everything to her. And then we would meet each week to talk about the questions and the answers. The book was completed in about 8 weeks. It was published November the 1st of last year.
Oh, that's a pretty good turnaround time for a book. You said that you took about 15 to 20 minutes each day to write once your publisher encouraged you. And I just want to talk about how important it is to have someone there to encourage you to pursue these creative endeavors, especially when it comes to writing a book or when it comes to releasing a song. And I want to know how your friend encouraged you, or if there were things that she did or you could go and ask her feedback about that you believe were invaluable to you, and how someone else might be able to find that.
Yes, it is quite important to have a support group. For me, being that the subject matter was so sensitive, having her in my corner to continue to cheerleader me on. Again, my faith was the basis of it. And then she's a mental health coach also. So one of the things she continued to remind me is that I have a voice and that my voice matters and my story matters. And so I kept stopping out of fear. And her reminding me, as well as the Lord was reminding me, that I had a story that had to be told. I grew up in a time where children were born to be seen and not heard. Due to the child trauma, it silenced me even the more than I was already silent. So back then, you didn't show emotion and you did not speak. Your voice was silenced. So this book was an avenue of saying, I have a voice, I'm going to use it, and I'm going to use it for the good. One of my phrases that I say now is that your purpose is greater than the pain. So her encouraging me to write this book, she knew how sensitive the matter was, because I had to remember things that I basically blocked out. And so she just encouraged me just to sit down for 10 to 20 minutes and just write, just get it out and then walk away. Don't try to correct anything, because I think that's where a lot of problems come in, is when we get to overthinking things. But she was like, the first thing is just to get it out. And then once you get everything out, then there's going to be a time to come back and critique it.
And I want to know what it's like to be so vulnerable with your writing and know that you're sharing this story that was so traumatic for you. I want to know how it is to be vulnerable and authentic and genuine in your writing, especially when you know that maybe your family members are reading this, maybe people you don't even know might be reading the book.
In order to get to this stage, you have to have done the work. And what I mean about that, your soul searching, therapy, counseling, and like I said, your spiritual walk, you have to have done the work on the front end. Because without those elements, those ingredients, you trying to write a book, it is not going to happen. You're opening up, you're almost opening up wounds that you try to band-aid. And that's the thing, you doing the inner work now or on the front end, it actually closes up the wound. A lot of us don't realize the things that we do to try to help us feel better just in essence is a band-aid, but you can't put a band-aid over a gaping wound. So again, I say this book is born out of trauma, but it goes with turning my pain into purpose. One of the things that was told to me is that I earned the right to tell my story. I can see if I was being malicious, but that's not the intention. Yes, there was probably going to be some people to read it and wonder why I wrote it, and even family members. But again, it's my story to tell. And as long as you're at peace with it, then you're okay.
No, that's a wonderful piece of advice that people can carry with them. You say that you turned to God, you turned to Jesus when you faced your childhood trauma, or maybe it was years after you faced it. Can you tell me how or what it's like to write about your faith, especially in a world right now where a lot of people don't believe in a God, who aren't spiritual?
Well, until you make up in your mind on the front end that your purpose is greater than your pain, until you reconcile in your soul, in your spirit, that you are here for a reason. And once you dig in the word and truly study the word and begin to walk it out, practice the word and believe the word, the things that you have endured and is enduring, it's going to make you bitter. And that's the thing, is we have a choice of deciding if the things that we've endured and that we're enduring now, is it going to make us better or bitter? You make the choice. And in order to be able to, a lot of people used to say, see the silver lining of the things that the dark time, or seeing the glass half full instead of half empty. That takes a mind transformation. That takes a mind shift. And so if you come from a place where it's all gloom and doom, negativeness, you're stuck in your past. And so the things that I have learned is that We build walls around our heart, around us, and we call it our comfort zone. But I have just learned that your comfort zone is really your prison that you have built around you. It turns into your prison. The fear, the guilt, the shame that comes out of some of the trauma, your fear becomes a greater part of your life. So you're stuck in your comfort zone and you're bound by your fear. And so your fear will not allow you to meet new people, talk to new people. It won't allow you to try new things. Your mindset is so negative. You're always looking at everything in a negative light. So when we choose to stay in that type of mindset, people do not want to be around you. Your life stops. You're at a standstill or in slow motion compared to everybody else moving forward with their life, whether or not they're happy with it or not. But people are moving forward, you're at a standstill. So writing about my faith was necessary because it is the core part of me. It is where my strength comes from. And it is who I am now so I can move forward. I've moved out of my comfort zone and the shackles of fear have come off my wrists and my ankles because of my faith.
And being a mindset coach, I want to ask if you have any practical tools that you could use to break these barriers that you create for yourself, how to be more positive, see those silver linings, the glass half. How do you transport yourself into that mindset and transform your entire life?
Outside of therapy and counseling, there's journaling, mindfulness, any type of self-care that you can try, exercise, yoga, mindfulness, walking, affirmations is a big one. You have to be intentional when it comes to your self-care. It needs to be non-negotiable, to be honest about it. Daily, set aside time for just you. One of the things that I used to do was I always wanted to be numb. I did not want to feel. So I stuffed my emotion, but that just made it worse. That just completely made it worse because you end up becoming a walking volcano ready to erupt. And the people around you, especially family members, because you will have outbursts and you won't probably even want to recognize that you're having them, but you're causing other people to walk on eggshells around you. So journaling is very important to get everything out of your mind, out of your heart. Even if you just take time and just walk in a park, just listening to something soothing such as the ocean or rain or classical music. These are daily simple things that you can incorporate in your daily life that gets you started. But you have to, that also would start also saying that you forgive. This is because that's the biggest thing is we carry so much guilt, we even find fault even in ourselves. So that's start of forgiving, whether you're forgiving others or forgiving yourself, because prioritizing your self-care, that means that you're forgiving. That means that you are seeing that you are more important. You are more than what your story, your past story says. So it's important that we prioritize our self-care in the various mental health or self-care things.
And I want to know, with counseling or therapy, would you suggest finding a professional or maybe going to a close friend instead? What have you noticed has worked better in your life? Because I know some people might be reluctant to open up to therapists and they need someone who they've known for longer or need more of a personal connection to the person they're sharing their trauma with. So I want to know if you're someone who is exceedingly reserved and you don't like to open up about your issues, or you don't want to burden anyone, how do you find someone you can trust?
I was the person that I hid everything. I learned to wear a mask at an early age. So for me, being so young, I learned to wear a mask and I was muzzled, I was silenced. I didn't think anybody would be able to handle the things that I said, especially the ones that were my age. And again, the adults back then, they thought children were seen and not heard. So I couldn't open up to them. But if you, there are so many people today that can talk to a stranger quicker than they can talk to their family member. If you're one of these people that can talk to a stranger and will completely open up and then feel better afterwards, that's a clear sign that you can talk to a therapist. Not everybody needs a therapist. Not everybody wants a therapist, but everybody needs someone that they can trust to talk to. There are some of us are deemed the stronger one in our circle, whether it's friends and or family. And so when you're deemed the stronger one, you really have nobody to talk to because everybody is coming to you. Everybody pulls on you. But when you need someone to talk to, you either can't trust them or you don't want to bother them or they're not available. But yet you still need someone to talk to. Who do you go to? What if you were like me, you just held it in. You just continued to walk around and hold it in. That's one of the services that I created called the listening sessions. It mimics a therapy session. It gives you 50 minutes where you can just talk about whatever you want to talk about. It doesn't go anywhere. There's no judgment. There's no interruption. Because that's one of the things that I realized when I was going through my trauma. I just wanted someone to hear me. But people would hear you, but they would hear you just to answer you. And that's not always what we're looking for. If you could just let me talk. A lot of times you get cut off because people start talking. And so the only service that I have is a listening session. I really pray that people will utilize it, specifically those who have no one to talk to. They don't trust anyone in their circle. And the listening sessions can also be for those who have therapy sessions. But if you need someone to talk to or listening ear between the therapy sessions, I encourage us to please find someone that you can trust. And we know who in our circle, who we can trust and who we can't trust. But for those who can't trust anyone, there is a service out there that you can talk to. We just got to, one of the things I used to say, talk to somebody, but not anybody. Because some stuff that you tell people, it will smack you back in the face if you tell the wrong person.
Yes, no, I completely understand where you're coming from, especially when it's about these traumatic events, or maybe it's an obstacle you overcame in your life or you're working on overcoming, and it's very close to your heart. It's difficult to find that person who isn't going to tell every other person about what's going on with you. I want to ask now, if people want to connect with you or they want to read your book, they want to find the service, how can they? Do you have a website? Do you have any social media platforms?
Yes, I'm on LinkedIn. I have a personal and business LinkedIn account. The personal is Carolyn Murphy, CPRS. The name of my business is Firm Foundations, capital C, capital O, LLC, or Firm Foundations Community Outreach, LLC. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok. The book is on Amazon, and I will definitely share all of those links with you. Even the link to the listening sessions, I would definitely share that with you because I think that is a service that we all need. And I really believe that's why a lot of us are walking around so angry because we're feeling unheard. We're feeling unloved and unwanted.
No, thank you so much for joining us here today and speaking about your writing process, overcoming your childhood trauma, and how others can come to a better state in their lives and grow and develop from. I want to tell my audience to please reach out to Carolyn and show her some love. Go connect with her. And if you like this episode and you want more episodes like this, then please leave a review and share with a friend or family member. We hope to see you next time.